Audioversity, the voice of Reichman University.
The Dodgy Linesman with Adam Rahway, Dan Moritz, Yoni Gill, and Aaron Herbert.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Dodgy Linesman, brought to you by Audioversity. It's me, Adam Rahway, and I'm back in the studio with Adam Friedler, and we have a lot to talk about, so let's get right back into it. Starting off with previewing the upcoming Champions League final between Manchester City and Inter Milan.
It's going to be either the best game we will ever see in the Champions League or the worst one. I have no clue what to expect. Inter have a very weird but interesting team.
Mm-hmm. Which we should definitely talk about.
Yeah, they have a very, very deep squad. But then again, there's no one that shines and is the biggest star. I mean, there's Lukaku, there's Lautaro, of course, but do you think that's enough to win the Champions League?
Well, I think Inter are very happy to come into this game as the underdogs. I think they wanted to play City as well, because I think they wanted to have almost like, you know, like an excuse to lose, but I think they wanted to come in as the underdogs. And I do think you saw in that semi-final the difference between Inter and AC was the depth in squad, for sure. AC were over-reliant on Rafael, and Inter punished them in the first leg when he wasn't there, didn't provide much of a threat in Milan. And in the second leg, Inter were very happy to sit back.
And wait for Milan to do something, to try.
Yeah, but of course they definitely have depth when you're able to have Dzeko start and Lukaku like be your replacement sub.
Yes, but then again, as I said before, Lukaku is not as big of a star as everyone thinks he is. He is a really, really good player, but he's not two levels above everyone else in the squad. He's not. They're all at the same level. They are a very equal squad in terms of talent. They have a lot of talented players in every position, but they're not superstars. That's why they're the underdog against City this year, I think.
Well, of course, but everyone's underdog to City. You could still be a superstar club and be an underdog to City. I would say about Inter, they do have options. I mean, Brozovic can sit on the bench. Lukaku scored 5 goals and got 3 assists in their last 4 league games, and he's still an impact sub just because you want to start Dzeko. Look, no one has the star in the world is the star quality of City. And every team in the world, because every team's worse than City, is going to go into a game with City being the underdogs. But I think Inter are going to be very happy, and they're going to back themselves, as they should.
But then again, City got into the final not by being a team full of stars. They got to the final just by being the best team on the pitch. Regardless of names, they beat everyone in terms of football, in terms of play, in terms of tactics. They just did it. They did whatever they wanted. They played incredible football, something that I wouldn't say I've never seen something like that, but it's been years since I saw a team like that.
Yeah, true. But Inter do have the stars, and they have the depth. Skriniar, De Vrij don't start anymore because Xabi. And Xabi's been amazing this season, and I just saw something on Twitter where some Inter fans, he pulled up like to sign autographs or something. I don't know what he was pulling up for, but they gave him like a fishing net. And he was like, what's this for? And they were like, to catch Haaland.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
And he put it in his vehicle and drove off. So I think that might be a good omen. But he has been amazing this season.
And then again, another surprising and weird football fact is that for the last 10 years, there have been only one Croatian in the Champions League final, and the team he plays in is
Mandzukic, no?
No, yeah, starting from Mandzukic in 2012, I think, right? No, 2013.
Yeah, that's 10 years ago.
Yeah, so for the last 10 years, each winning team has had only one Croatian player, and the losing team in the final didn't. City doesn't have one, Inter does.
Oh, we had Lovren. Ah, Liverpool Lovren. Yeah. Wait, let's just try to think. So, Let me check, put up a list of Champions League winners.
So it starts with Mandzukic for Bayern.
Yes, of course. I remember. And you remember, then, by the way, when remember when Mandzukic lost in the Champions League final, but he scored the most insane bicycle ever.
Yeah. Wow, what a game.
Yeah, that was against Barca, right?
No, so, no. Real.
Ah, Real. So, I'll turn that off. Okay, let's try pick out these win these creations, these elusive creations. So, 2012 Mandzukic, 13 Madrid, we know.
Madrid. Yeah, then Barcelona had Rakitic.
Of course, I've got about Rakitic. And then Modric another 3 years, then Lovren, then who did Bayern have?
Bayern had...
In 2019.
Bayern had Mandzukic still.
Again, okay.
Wait, what year
Chelsea,
is it?
Chelsea, Kovacic, and then Madrid, Modric. Wow, there's always a creation winning.
No, wait. Who was part in the 2019-2020 Bayern team?
I don't know, they wouldn't have had anyone other than Mandzukic. But I don't know if he was still there.
I'm looking at the squad.
Anyway, I'd say that the thing with, like, Lautaro, amazing season, could be a World Cup and Champions League winner. But I also do think he blows very hot and cold. But when he's hot, he's extremely hot. And yeah. I think he's hot at the moment.
Will he still be in 2 weeks from now when the finals game?
I mean, I'd say so, yeah. I think he's going to be the guy you need to look at if Inter were to win the Champions League.
Well, to get back at you, it was Perisic in 2020 for Bayern.
Yeah, of course, because Mandzukic was gone. That's all I was trying to figure out. I was like, really? Is Mandzukic still there? No, it can't be.
Perisic. But yeah.
Because he would have had to go have gone back to Bayern because he was at Juve.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then also it was wild. Like after the game, AC Milan had to go over to the ultras and like apologize.
I mean,
and what I don't know what the culture is behind that, but the ultras look like they were getting stuck into them.
Then again, I think still it was the right thing to do after a disastrous first leg.
Yeah, it is a good thing, but I don't know what the culture is. Like it's wow, it feels like the ultras are like run the club.
That's what it should be, don't you think?
I do think so. It holds players accountable for sure. Because it's like, also like today, there's such a disconnect between players and fans. And I feel like going over, there's like one guy that comes forward, like the spokesman from the ultras.
So the best football structure in the world, in my opinion, and
it's Germany.
Yeah, of course. Where the fans hold 51% of, yeah. That's just necessary. That's just something that should be implemented in every single country.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is good. It just doesn't, it's not going to happen in England.
It won't ever.
I know. It won't, and the money is like a little bit less. That's why Bayern makes such class signings. Kind of have to, they can't, you know, Premier League, by virtue of having the wealthiest owners, get charged like 20 million on any player.
And yet Bayern still managed to buy off all the rivals they have.
I know.
Second and third place that season, that's not Bayern. They get sold off to Bayern.
I know. It's amazing.
So even though they're not that powerful...
Or Madrid.
Even though they're not that powerful, then they just do.
Relatively to everyone else, they're still very powerful. It's a good club model. I think it's very sustainable. Now, City. What do you think City going into the final? How do you think Pep plays it? They've won the league. They've wrapped the league up.
I think that's the hardest question you can ever ask someone. How will Pep play a game? The more you try to think about it, the less you'll know, and then you'll fall into the same black hole as Ancelotti with Real, that in the second leg he decided to not open with Rudiger, and that was the biggest mistake he's ever made in his career, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Pep's not someone you can really...
outthink. That's not someone you can outthink.
Yeah, and, you know, before that second leg, he was... he was speaking quite big. I mean, City absolutely dispatched Madrid. And Pep was in the media, was quite confident before the game. I've never seen him talk like that. He was like, we've been here before, with all my players, I want them to enjoy it. It was pretty like...
Because he was, when he was talking, or that's the way I see things now, after the fact that it happened, I think he was talking directly to Ancelotti saying, I'm just going to play, you do whatever you want, you can think as much as you want, I'm not going to tell you anything.
Yeah, he may have. And look, City's run to the final has been immense. City never won the Champions League.
Yeah, but the course has been lifted, though.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying, like, this is how wild this run-in is. City never won the Champions League. They beat Bayern and Madrid, who have a combined 20 Champions Leagues on the way to the final. And if they beat Inter, that's 23. They like, I don't know, just, they're no easy teams. All big clubs they've had to play.
And also they've had 14 goals in favor and 0 against in the Etihad in the knockout stages the last 3 games.
It's crazy. Crazy. I mean, they're just getting better and better. And it's like, they've wrapped the Premier League up. Congratulations, City. When does it end? When do they stop getting so good? They have quite... I mean, Haaland's just come in. He set them up for a long time now.
Unless he's not renewing his contract.
He will. Where does he go from here? To Madrid?
Like, to wherever he gets paid. And yes, there are teams that can outpay City.
Like Newcastle?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Newcastle, on Champions League. Well done. Liverpool aren't going to make it.
Maybe Ronaldo will come to you guys.
It will be a big business move. But then again, I don't think he starts.
No. There's no way.
Yeah. Which, for Ronaldo, is a non-negotiable. I mean, that's why he left Man United.
No, he was kicked out of Man United.
Yeah, but he forced his hand. Like, if he were to apologize and hadn't... He wanted out, obviously, when he did that interview.
Yeah, but then again, even if you're Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the best players in history, there's no player bigger than the club.
Of course not.
So if you ask me, he shouldn't go back to the Prem. He shouldn't go back to any other top five leagues, as much as it hurts. Seeing that
we're not good enough anymore, so to start, and that's for an order, you know, when your egos are high, you have to start. He could easily have been what Virgil van Dijk was for United this season and bagged like 15. He would have bagged way more goals than van Dijk if he played like him. Come off, scored 15, 20 tap ins.
Yeah, that's it.
Good, great season. But Ronaldo, and maybe this is why, sorry to cut you off, but maybe this is why what is one of the best players ever, or the second best player ever. Which you don't just get there by like being content with sitting on the bench. He's very much, his ego is what got him to where he is now, so you can't fault it.
Sure, no, that makes sense, but then again, who knows, maybe Man United would have been even top two and even fight for the title if Ronaldo hadn't done what he did and scored those 20 tap-ins you said.
Yeah, he would have. Like, he would have been a great squad player, so he would have been... All the young guys in the dressing room would have looked up to him. He would have had a much better legacy. Maybe the club would have done something nice for him. I think he's being paid ridiculous anyway at United. I think it was like 500 a week.
I have no clue. I don't look enough at a player's wages. I think regardless of the wage, the player has a duty. And if they don't fulfill it, they're out.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, I mean, if he went for money, he was getting it at United, so that shouldn't have been too big of an issue. Of course, you know, there's always more to be made. Obviously, he went down that path, and I mean, you can't fault him. It's a shame, though, because his legacy is going to be a bit tainted because of it. But I don't know, like, maybe it's United, but when you look at it and remember it, you're not going to remember him for that.
No, of course not. Of course not.
You're going to remember him for the good things.
Also, still thinking of the Prem. Yeah. You've teased me already that you have a team of the season, and I'm curious.
I am curious, but before we get there, quick football announcement. We haven't recorded since Napoli won the Serie A.
Right.
Amazing.
Right.
Amazing turnaround. What a season. You know, they did it on the cheap. They didn't spend money like the other clubs. And
they still play the best football.
Still play the best
Uncontested.
Football. You know, first time Naples, a football mad city, have won the league in, I can't tell you how many years, but many.
I think it's been like 33 years since Napoli last won the league.
Mm-hmm. I had friends at the game. It was very special.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just really cool to see. And it shows, like, you don't have to spend the most money. It's
get a good manager. Just have to play the better football regardless of the money you have.
Uh-huh. Get a good manager. He knows what
he
wants.
Even though he's leaving, though.
Yeah.
He's leaving, and there are a lot of rumors on who's going to be next. I don't want to say anything because I really don't know. But I think Bielsa might be a good choice for them.
Bielsa, I guess the style of football would suit Bielsa. It's quite attacking, certain go on the counter, whip balls into the box. Makes sense. But does Bielsa have the caliber to win the Serie A? I don't think so.
I do.
Really? Hopefully I'll eat my words. I like Bielsa.
No, I think so because of the style of football he plays, what he likes to instill on the players. I think it's a good match for the Serie A style, for the Catenaccio, I think. I don't know.
Also, he definitely has the passion to fit a Serie A manager.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's part of showing Serie A, watching the managers fight and talk in the media.
On paper, I think he would be one of the best managers of all time in the Serie A.
Of all time?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, on paper, he matches every single criteria.
The characteristics.
To the T. Yeah, he matches every single characteristic to a T. It's insane.
Agreed. But he just needs to up his style game because he can't be wearing tracksuits in the Serie A. He need to be suited, nice little scarf, nice little two-piece. Come on now. Be also work on it, bro. And then other news. Beitar Yerushalayim. Alufacha La Medina. First time since 2008. What a game. 3-0 win against Maccabi Netanya last night. Friday. What a footballer. I don't know if you know any Beitar players. Franklin Friday. What a name. What a footballer. Amazing stuff. Only downside to it was, I don't know if you saw, but they're handing out the medals to the players. And a pitch invasion happened.
Wow. Hopefully no one's hurt.
But
it's usually pretty violent when that happens here.
Yeah, but yeah. Also in Israel, it's like pitch invasions are like kind of a no-go zone because, you know, like you just want safety. It's like, you know, everyone's always on edge with like other security issues.
Yeah.
And pitch invasion is a lack of control, which is not a good thing in this country. And Yitzhak Herzog was the president, was handing out medals. He only handed out like half the medals. They invaded.
And then he probably got taken back.
Oh, taken back. All the like secret service, I don't know what the word in Hebrew is, like closed down, closed in around him, like in a ring. And they walked him out while people literally like running into them.
Wow.
And medals were stolen. It was shocking. They didn't lift the trophy on the pitch. And there was a lot of talk. It was absolute chaos. And there was a lot of talk of, which, I mean, it's shocking. Medals were stolen.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
That's a first. Yeah. Wow.
There was a lot of talk of they violated some Israeli FA bylaw and they were going to be like banned, like not win the trophy.
Yeah, they're going to...
And all the other Israeli football fans like, yes. Even though they ended up winning it, I'm pretty sure.
Who knows? It's still a question whether that will happen or not. Seeing that it's not Apoel Tel Aviv, that they usually have the best, like the worst luck against the Israeli FA, maybe that will get them the title. But if it was Apoel, I'm sure I can sign that they would have taken from them the championship.
That's one or two more news pieces before we go into our much awaited team of the season. Luton Town on the cusp of the Premier League, playing non-league football in 2014. One game away from the Premier League. Beat Sunderland at Kenilworth Road. And now have to go face Middlesbrough at Wembley. Amazing story.
Yeah. It's also been a relatively good year for Barca fans, winning the first league title in 3 years in Cornellà against Espanyol, the same year that Espanyol are getting relegated.
Rivals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Same city rivals. It's, I would say it's even bigger than against Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm. You're a Barca fan.
Yeah, I am a Barca fan. The only thing I can't blame Real Madrid fans for, it's celebrating their titles. But then when Espanyol celebrate Real Madrid titles, that pisses me off because they're not even winning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, like, is the rivalry that big?
With Espanyol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both Catalan clubs.
Yeah, they're both from Barcelona. There's a big history of Barcelona Football Club kicking Espanyol out of the city, and then they had to move to Cornellà, which is in the outskirts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's so much... I don't want to say hate, but that's why there's so much rivalry and... I think the word's hate. I can't find a better word for it.
Fair enough. So now I think we're going to move to team of the season. I've gone for a 4-3-3.
Okay.
Yeah, and just right now, if you're listening, I think you guys can all predict who's going to be a striker in both our teams. We have one player at the top in common. Who do you think it is? You're probably right.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of a question here.
What you play? What's your formation?
I chose a 4-2-3-1 with a two CDMs, two defensive midfielders, and a three attacking midfielders, no wingers. Just because I don't think any of the wingers were good enough this season, even though Grealish was amazing, Saka was amazing, Martinelli was amazing, none of them made that much of a difference in their team to be there. But that's my opinion. So I'm excited to see what you picked.
Okay, do you want to start?
Go for it.
Okay, we'll go one position each.
Goalkeeper?
Yeah, goalkeeper. I went with Nick Pope.
I went with Alisson.
Okay, we kind of spoke about this one, but I think Nick Pope, amazing debut season in Newcastle. He swapped the Premier League for the Championship for the Champions League. Essentially, because that's where Newcastle are heading now. Cost the club £10 million. Putting out some stats here, but no keeper's conceded less goals than Nick Pope per 90 minutes. He's 0.88 goals. A save efficiency of 75%, which is the third in the division. Not save efficiency, save percentage. I don't know what save efficiency is. And
save efficiency, I think...
No,
reflects how many saves do not get into a rebound or...
Ah, okay. So this is a save percentage stat, which is just what percentage of shots he saves. 75%. And then he kept 12 clean sheets in the first 20 games.
Yeah, no, that's an insane stat, especially for the player in the team in this situation. But then again, I chose Alisson. He's had... an insane season, even though his...
I can agree, I'm a Liverpool fan.
Even though the Liverpool centre-backs and defence were not the greatest, they still had a great run these last few weeks. And he also has the biggest penalty save percentage in Europe, which is nothing bad at all. It's not bad at all.
True. Okay, yeah, I could have gone for either any of those two, so... I think they're both pretty fair. Right back, I went with Kieran Trippier. Look, leads the Premier League for crosses into the box. I don't know if he went for him. he ranks assists, which is like expected goals. And like, you know, he's key passes, he's shot creating options. He's been amazing for Newcastle. And, you know, he's 32 years old. He's not getting young. Amazing at that age to play like that.
No, I also agree with you. I think he was the best signing for Newcastle this season.
Did you put him in your team?
Yeah, yeah. A centre backs.
I think he. Just say one more thing. I think he's the best right back in England.
Yeah, by far.
Because he wasn't even in the debate. It was always Trent or Reece or Walker. You know, it's Trippier.
Yeah, this season it's Trippier.
Trent's the best midfielder of the three.
What?
Trent's the best midfielder of the four.
Yeah,
by far.
But then again, centre backs. I put Ruben Diaz and Saliba. I don't think there was much of a debate for me there. Ruben Diaz has been the best center back City have had, because I'm not counting Stones as a center back anymore.
Fair enough. I did. I put Stones and Diaz. I just think, you know, Stones had this weird role where it's like a defense based on Stones' intuition. He was either a midfielder or a defender. And it's like Pep's like a weird controlling tactic. And it worked insanely well, clearly, because Stones is now a 5-time Premier League winner. And it's a lot thanks to him. So I just think if you're making a team of the season, you kind of have to put him in somewhere. Because he doesn't fit into any traditional mode.
Yeah, fair enough.
But Ruben Diaz, without a doubt. I do think Saliba, Botman, and Dunk were kind of unlucky to miss out on the team of the season.
No, I think Saliba, because of the role he played at Arsenal, every single game he played, Arsenal was insanely good. He had really, really, really good games and a lot of influence in the pitch. His game with the ball, without the ball, I think, even though he got injured, he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he wasn't there, his absence was felt. You knew he wasn't playing.
Yeah, agreed. But unfortunately, Arsenal, the way they ended that season, is going to overshine anything.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's just the reality of the situation.
No, it's sad to hear that they're not winning the league after being on top for like, what, 93% of the match days?
You know, City only lost 4 games this season, and 3 of them Diaz didn't play.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so that says everything you need to know.
Yeah.
So Ruben Diaz, I went John Stones for reasons I just mentioned, and I think that's pretty fair as well.
What's your other centre back? Oh, Ruben Diaz and Stones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Left back, we probably got the same. Probably not. Okay.
Nope. Estupiñán.
Good one. I didn't think of Estupiñán, but I'd still go, okay. I just think, you know, he's also impressed. He can play in 2 positions. Like, everyone at City seems to be able to rotate.
In at least 2 positions, yeah.
At least. Centre back, left back. He's really good. I don't have many stats for him, but he can.
Yeah, but not many.
He's fast, really fast, and he's good at shutting down like wingers from the opposing sides.
Yeah, he's really good at. He's a really good defensive left back.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I chose Estupiñán is because he has both qualities. He's really good with the ball. He's really good without the ball. He has really great attacking instincts.
Mm-hmm.
He also scores relatively a lot for a left back.
I like Estupiñán because, in terms of playing him in a team of the season, mainly because, you know, the non-big six, it's quite.
And he's also quite really refreshing. Young. He's also young.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's class. Estupiñán, is he Colombian or Ecuadorian?
He's Ecuadorian.
Him and Casado. Wow. Ecuador, bright future. All right. Moving to midfield. I went with 2 center mids. Oh, I went with 3 midfielders. I'm going to start with my first one, Rodri. I think Rodri should definitely be in that side. No midfielders had more touches than him, or paid more passes in the final third, or completed a higher percentage of their passes in the final third. Rodri's pass completion this season was 92%,
which
is outrageous, because it's not like he's made 3 passes, he's made the most passes in the league. And he always chooses the right pass. He's just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
he's only 26. So there's a lot more to come.
I think he's one of the smartest football players right now. Like, in terms of brains, I think he understands the game the most.
Yeah, agreed.
He can make a great coach one day.
No, no, he will, for sure. He's brilliant. He's a footballing genius, and that's something Pep, he could make a coach, as you said. Something, he's like, Pep's shaped him 100%.
Yeah. Also, I had another defensive midfielder.
Who?
Casemiro.
Fair, you have to put United player in. I wouldn't have KDB. I just think KDB always hits form at the right time at the end of the season. He was brilliant. And you saw when how he dismantled Arsenal personally at the end of the season.
Yeah, but I also have three other midfielders in the team of the season, though. No wingers. I have five midfielders.
So you probably went with KDB somewhere on that side?
Yeah.
You went with KDB?
Yes. I'm still not sure who I'm dropping, though.
Yeah. So tell me about Casemiro.
Casemiro has had... I think he's the most influential player in Manu this season. He's more important than both of their center backs, more important than Varane, more important than Lisandro, more important than Maguire not playing, more important than any single individual of the squad, more important than Rashford, than Garnacho.
He's the difference maker in that side.
Yeah,
for
he's the one that makes the difference. So, United also getting really close to getting top four, I think he deserves it.
So he's been...
He's been carrying the team the whole season.
Yeah, agreed. He's been the step that's moved them to where they are now from where they were last season. So, I guess if I paid a fourth midfielder, I probably would have gone Casemiro, but I went 4-3-3 and I'm pretty happy with my choices.
Then I also have KDB and two other midfielders, which are Odegaard. He carried Arsenal as well.
So, Odegaard's my third midfielder. First, club captain.
Yeah.
Secondly, I would say to anyone who doesn't think Odegaard should be in the team, not to be blinded by Arsenal's end of season. They were the prime team for most of the Premier League season.
Yeah.
They were brilliant. Odegaard had a peak standout season, and he was the centre of all good things for Arsenal. Amazing. Led by example, he led a young team.
He was the team's engine.
Yep. Amazing footballer. A lot more to come. He's still young. And do you know how old he is?
He's like 23, right?
I can't tell you. That's what I asked. But when he was hyped up at Madrid years ago, he was so young.
He is 24.
He carves defenses open with that subtle touch.
Yeah.
And a little bit of an intervention.
He has great instincts. He has great instincts.
He's a baller. That's what I can say.
And the fifth midfielder I chose, it's McAllister.
Former future Liverpool player.
Yeah.
Future Liverpool McAllister. Look, I like McAllister. I still don't know. I'm a little nervous. Maybe because I was expecting Bellingham to solve all our problems. But I just don't know if he has it for Liverpool yet. Like, I don't know if he's good enough.
Listen, when you have a squad, when Thiago is not always healthy, when he's injured half the season, when you have a squad where you have to play Arnold as a midfielder, you need to get more depth in that area. And I think McAllister is a good choice.
Fair enough. He
showed the nerves to play in big games, in big moments, and he showed that he's made of steel. That he's there. He's shown that he's here to stay and that he's there to make a difference. So I think he deserves it.
Yeah, maybe. But we probably have to sign him in conjunction with other players. It couldn't just be assigning him and finish.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Which with Trent, I mean, not with Trent, with Jude, we would have had to sign him and maybe one other player.
But McAllister gives you more depth because he's first going to be cheaper, and second, you can also get two other players with him.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'll take Casado as well.
Who?
Moises. Casado. Oh. How do you say it in Spanish?
Moises Caicedo.
Caicedo. Now forwards. I'm going Saka. I don't know if people rate him. I just think, as I say, Arsenal, it's easy to overlook their players in the team of the season. Scored 13 goals, 11 assists. Arsenal were really good this season. I think he'd get in.
if I had chosen a winger, it would be him. But still, for a winger...
You purposely didn't choose a winger because you think he didn't deserve it, though.
Yeah, because I don't think any winger this season... I don't think any team had a... I don't think that any team, their star this season was a winger. I think Arsenal's star was Gabriel Jesus, Odegaard, and Saliba. But no wingers. City, the same thing.
I don't think he was too influential in Arsenal's season, and he scored. He was big in the big moments.
And so was Martinelli, and so was Jesus.
I don't know.
Why pick Grealish over Martinelli?
Maybe he hasn't been the star, but I just think that he has to be put in because I was picking a 4-3-3.
No, yeah, I think
he's been the best winger in the Prem this season.
That is also true. He has been the best winger in the Prem this season, but I don't think this year the wingers in the Prem were that good.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Comparing to other seasons where the stars of the Prem were the wingers.
You picked a very weird lineup, to not put a winger in. I picked a normal lineup.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what you normally do for team of the season.
No, I think what you do for team of the season is highlight the positions that need to be highlighted and not go traditional.
Okay, we can agree to disagree.
So if you compare, let's compare to past years also.
Uh-huh.
Let's say I
put Salah in my team last year.
Exactly.
As a winger.
Yeah. Salah as a winger last season was way better than Saka this season.
And the season before, and the season before.
Yeah, exactly. Salah has been way better than Saka. So why put Saka?
Just because they both 4-3-3s, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. But why highlight a position that does not deserve to be highlighted? Not this year, at least.
Yeah, I guess. I like to go for traditional formations.
But football's changing.
Yeah, true. You can be the pep of making team of the seasons.
I'll take that. I'll happily take that role.
Yeah, any association to Pep's good one.
Yeah.
Unless your name's Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
But then again, then you're Zlatan, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't have to be associated Zlatan with Pep.
Zlatan actually managed Pep.
Yeah.
According to urban myth.
No, according to football history, I guess.
Fair enough. My second forward, before we get to the one that we obviously share. I mean, amazing individual season, 28 goals, 37 games, scored in 25 games. So, I mean, he's not scoring hat-tricks every week. He's scoring quite consistently week in, week out. And he passed Jimmy Greaves and Wayne Rooney to become England's all-time top goal scorer in the Premier League. So, amazing stuff. Kane, without the service that Haaland gets, continues to bang goals in. And the question has to be asked. I'm pretty sure we both have Haaland as our striker, as our second striker. As my third forward. The question needs to be asked, if Kane was in Haaland's position, would he score more goals? Or if he had Haaland's service?
That's a very, very interesting question. I think they're both really different players, and the way they score goals, it's totally, totally different. Kane is way less physical than Haaland, and the way Guardiola plays football, I think he would make a difference. I'm not saying he would make more goals, but he would make a difference in the playing style, and the football will be less physical and more pretty and fun to watch, I would say.
Do you think he scores more goals, though?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I get the tough one. I think Haaland... It's hard to see someone scoring more than what Haaland's just done.
Yeah.
I mean, need I say more? 36 Premier League goals.
I think the only time we've seen something like this, it's Messi 2012.
Then he scored 50 goals in that season across all...
Yeah, he scored... Yeah, close to that.
So you think Haaland's had a better season than Ronaldo's ever had?
Yes.
Wow. True. But yes. Crazy to think about it.
No, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, he has the craziest...
But then again, Ronaldo was not a striker up until he got to Real Madrid. and he was a striker for only like one season, then he changed again back to being a winger.
Does Haaland, how many assists does Haaland have?
Like 8.
Okay, so that's still pretty good. I mean, it's still very good. Well, yeah, so I'd say Haaland's like the...
But then again, you compare the team City has. And they have 3 players for each position.
Versus Spurs.
Yeah, that have half a player for each position, maybe.
And half a manager at any time.
Yeah. And an empty trophy cabinet at all times.
Yeah. Empty. Okay, true. Harsh. For Spurs, they take abuse from everywhere. Kind of deserve it, though.
Also, I just remembered another fun fact talking about European football. Is that Mourinho can become the first manager to win every single European competition.
Of course, and I hope he does.
Yes, but then again, it's still Sevilla's
Europa League trophy.
Yeah, you can't take it away from them.
They've won like 5. I don't know how many they've won.
They've won all of them. Like, every single final they've played, they've never lost a European League, final.
How many finals have they been in? It's actually absurd, I'm sorry.
More than Barca have been in Champions League. That I know for a fact.
That's wild, dude. Actually wild.
And Tammy Abraham can become the first player to win all the European competitions, including UEFA Youth League.
You know, honestly, Italian football is coming back. Even in the Conference League now, Fiorentina is playing. Shout out to Fiorentina fans. They're playing in the cup final against Inter. But they're also playing against West Ham, who, you know, could end up in the Europa League and finish, what's in the Premier League, like 15th, 16th?
Yeah, something like
amazing
that.
Amazing stuff. I think West Ham do beat them. Sofyan Amrabat's quite good though.
I don't know. That's going to be a very fun game to watch. They both have really different playing styles that clash into each other.
Uh-huh.
It'll be a very physical game.
Mm-hmm.
The Italians play a very, very physical football. The Prem is a little bit more tactical, but it's still very, very... It's still a physical game, unlike in Spain or Germany as well.
It's more technical.
Yeah. So I think the difference there is in the technique, but Amrabat, I think he can undermine the Premier League class to put it in a way to get Fiorentina the trophy.
Mm-hmm. I hope. I mean... That'd be cool. I'd like West Ham to win the trophy for sure, but...
No, I don't know. I really want Fiorentina to win it. I want Italian football to be back again.
It really is back. It's class. I'd say one thing before we wrap up. We're going into the final game week of the Premier League. Who goes down?
Who goes down?
Yeah.
Wow. Besides Southampton?
Southampton already down. I'm saying Leeds are down at this point. But
yeah.
But
I mean, the question is between Everton and Leicester.
Yeah, well, Leeds could still win. And Leeds actually aren't down, but that goal difference is an issue.
Yeah.
Leicester or Everton. So we got to look at fixtures.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking at.
I know Everton, one of them plays Bournemouth. I think it's Everton.
Everton's playing Bournemouth.
Bournemouth have nothing to gain. Yeah. So Everton are in a good position. And I think Leicester play.
Leicester playing West Ham.
Who are going to be resting players.
Yep.
What does that mean? Like, if they both win, Everton stay up. So I think Everton will stay up.
And Leeds are playing Tottenham. Who are also playing for nothing, I guess. No.
Yeah, but Spurs could get spanked at any given day. So anyone can stay up.
Yeah, that's but Tottenham are playing for... No. They're not playing for nothing. They're playing for a Conference League qualifications for 7th place.
Yeah, but they're playing in the Conference League next week. For 7th place. They're not near 7th place. They're 18 points behind 7th.
Tottenham?
No, West Ham. Oh, you said Spurs.
Yeah.
Spurs aren't playing for nothing, no. But they can get spanked in any given day.
Who knows?
Yeah.
No, anyway. It's going to be a very interesting match week.
And yeah, very interesting. congratulations to City on winning the league. And I think that's that for today's show. We'll wrap it up. We'll chat. We'll see you boys next week.
Thanks for boys having me. Boys and girls.
Of course, it's a pleasure.
Bye.
All our shows and podcasts available online on our website and on all podcast platforms. Search Audioversity.